Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto with a little bit of a cold. I apologize. And joined by Lee Cantor. Are you finally healthy?
I'm totally healthy and your voice sounds sultry.
Sultry. Wow. Just wait till I start barking like a dog.
That won't be sultry.
I sound like a cougher. I apologize. We have a great show today, though. Speaking of not feeling well, and I've spent my morning at the doctor, by the way.
How was it?
It was
got
okay.
Got right in and out, no waiting.
It was waiting.
Just very efficient system.
Well, when I left, I was approached by the patient advocacy specialist.
Oh, you're a troublemaker? That's what that means.
I mean, go figure. A patient advocacy specialist.
So what'd they do? Did they advocate for you?
I think they probably will, but, I mean, times have changed. You picture yourself in 1970, all right? Everybody was born, well, maybe not. We all born in 1970, all of our guests today? Well, all right. So say it's 1970. You go to the doctor. You see the doctor. You go in, you probably see one person before you go back to see the doctor, and it's probably your mom's friend that she plays bridge with, and it's a small office. Well, long gone are the days of small offices. I now have a patient advocacy specialist to help me with my insurance needs and probably my prescriptions and all the other things. It was a huge office. Anyway, today we have a medical show, and, you know, physicians go into medical practice, and they go into it with great intentions of helping people, but there's a lot involved in running a medical practice. We have some special guests with us today that are going to talk about how physicians can help maximize their profit margin, help run their offices a little bit smoother, and talk a little bit about some of the overhead. Let's start off. Gosh, how about you, Seth Kahn? You've got a background in finance. Tell us a little bit about your business and how it relates to physicians.
Yeah, my business partner, Scott Vare, and I work over at Capstone Financial Partners. We are currently financial planners that specialize in working with physicians, their families, and their practices. We've been teaching business and medicine courses for 7-8 years now at some of the local teaching hospitals in Georgia and around the Southeast. And we basically help physicians, whether it be on the business side with business continuation, you know, how do I, once I've been working for a period of years, how do I eventually buy out of my practice? And then we also help out with retirement plan design on the individual side. It's could be investment planning, retirement planning, estate planning, et cetera.
What are some of the challenges that physicians have that other, you know, people don't have?
Well, commonly I would say the biggest area of concern is our society has become quite litigious, obviously, and a lot of people think of they have the letters MD after their name, they're a multimillionaire, and people try to file frivolous lawsuits and try to attack their assets. And so we really strive to make sure that their assets are protected from creditors and predators. So that's certainly something that not all business owners struggle with on a daily basis, for sure.
So where did things change, do you all think, in medicine? How about if we just go around and introduce all of our guests first, and then maybe a little roundtable discussion would be in order. Also joining us this morning, we have Jeff Finkel. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Overhead Reduction Services specializes in helping healthcare practices increase their profits by reducing their expenses. And so what I do for my practices is it's really focused on cost containment consulting, taking a look at what they're paying for their vendor. These are vendor services, not personnel services. So anything around telecom and credit card, debit card processing, checking, banking, those types of things. And it's taking a look at what services they are purchasing and what they're paying for those services and ensuring that they are purchasing the right services for the right prices. So it's actually auditing, analyzing their bills, negotiating with their vendors, and attempting to reduce the costs, those monthly type costs that they have.
Excellent. And also joining us this morning is Max Smith, who's the VP of Operations for Extension Express. Tell us, what is Extension Express?
Extension Express is really a patient responsibility company in the sense that we help practices and clinics and hospitals with their patient responsibility billing. So we can take an account from as early as right after the date of service and send statements out on their behalf all the way to bad debt collections to the credit bureau reporting. So what we're doing is we're helping doctors save money on postage, on FTEs, full-time employees, and our staff is the one who takes over the dunning process for for satisfying those debts that the that come after the the visits.
Excellent. So a physician starts their private practice. They've got all of these student loans. They say the average student now has upwards of $200,000 in student loans that they have to pay back. They open a practice. Seth, how do you go about advising them or helping them with their capital plan?
Well, it's all about their personal goals. So when it comes to the repayment of student loans, the bad news is that the debt level is at an all-time high, but the interest rates are really at an all-time low. So we do a lot of education with our clients on the idea of opportunity costs, you know, putting your money here as opposed to there. What's the rate of return over long-term going to be? But really we talk about their level of comfort rather with debt. You know, if somebody has lost a from a family that might have lost a business, then they're going to be a lot less comfortable with the debt, even if it's at 2%, than somebody that understands the market and how long-term planning goes. So we meet with them. We'll go over their long, short, midterm goals, and when it comes as it relates to their practice, make sure that they're protected, their baseline is protected, you know, from malpractice, from death, from disability, things like that. Then upwards, we work on asset protection, you know, investment planning, retirement planning, and such and so forth, and we just build on that every year and be sure that we, you know, their goals are constantly a moving target. So we try to
do Seth, do you work mostly with new doctors or more established?
You know, when people come to us, I would say my response always is whenever somebody wants to sit down and talk, but I would say the bulk of the people that come to us are in transition, whether they're from training to practice, from practice to practice, or maybe from practice to retirement. And we have a team that I work with in my office, and different people specialize in working with. Maybe it's just the new residents versus, you know, I might specialize in working with somebody who's been more established and have some more complex problems.
Mm-hmm. So a physician might be branching out and leaving a practice and going out on their own. You might help them with their financial plan.
That's right. The things that we do really are, the way we describe it is they own the team. We're the coach, and we help hire the players. So whether it be they need a practice management consultant that might come in, or maybe they've got an existing relationship with the CPA they're not so happy with, we can come in and introduce them to our network. And in addition, and those are just in addition to the things that we do. We don't get any sort of financial we don't have any compensation from introducing them to a business attorney or an estate planning attorney. But as their planner, we try to really focus on their total picture, because a lot of times people can operate in a vacuum. You know, they've got the CPA op doing their thing and the attorney doing their thing and their stockbroker doing their thing, and we try to pull all those things together. And I think that that our clients are really happy with that level of service.
So, Jeff, when it comes to their actual practice, that's where you kind of take a deep dive and check to see what their expenses are and how they may cut costs, correct? Where do you begin?
Exactly. There are two types of clients' practices that I work with. Those that are in practice already and have been doing business for a while and have already negotiated for and implemented their vendor services. Then there are the physicians who are starting up a practice or opening up a secondary or tertiary office. And for those, for the clients that already have services in hand, I'm going to come in, I'm going to take a look at how they're doing business. You know, are they running an ophthalmology practice and also an optical shop in the same practice and trying to run all their expenses through one telephone system or one credit card machine? Are there more practical ways to do businesses? For the services that they have, I'm going to analyze all the bills and all the statements. I'm going to look for overcharges. I'm going to look for lack of discounts. I'm going to negotiate for savings, for overcharges. If they're happy with the vendor that they're currently with, I'm going to stick with that vendor. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way ORS works is we are vendor neutral, meaning I get paid by my clients. I don't get paid by the vendor, so I take no commissions. So I'm very happy to leave my practices with the vendors who they're using now if they're happy with them, but my role then is to lower the costs. For practices that are starting up, it's a good time for me to get involved with the physician or with the staff well before they open the doors. I've been working with one practice that opened up just last month for 8 months now, lining up all the vendors, mm-hmm. everything from telecom to merchant processing to to their x-ray equipment, to Muzak, to all these types of things. And I'm able to take that responsibility both for new practices and for existing practices off their plate, because I'm handling all the problems, the negotiations, the correspondent, the fact-finding, and letting the practices focus on their core business, which is treating patients.
Right, exactly.
So,
are there any common places where a person, a physician, could look to save money?
Absolutely. Merchant processing is probably one of the biggest areas for the types of vendor services that I look at. I have yet in the 5 years I've been doing this failed to save a practice money in merchant processing.
Why is that?
Because typically they have not initially negotiated very well with the vendors. They're paying all kinds of monthly fees and what are called interchange fees for the processing. A lot of what I do is educational. In addition to negotiating down the fees that they're paying, I'm also educating their staffs on tips, with tips like, for example, settling the merchant account every day, sliding the card rather than keying in the card. I mean, the processing companies have a multitude of what are called interchange fees that nickel and dime these practices. And so I train the staff on the best ways to take the practices. If they're paying with, for example, if patients are paying with debit cards, then the practice needs to have a PIN pad, because using a PIN pad is the least expensive way to take debit card payments. Many, many practices don't have it. Hmm. Many practices go year after year after year.
What kind of savings could that be? Like, how much more money would a physician make just by having a PIN pad? Like,
it could be thousands of dollars a year. It's based on volume, because the best discounts I can negotiate are predicated on the volume. Mm-hmm. But every practice takes debit cards. And it's a debit card taken with a PIN pad can cost as little as 25% of the cost of a debit card taken without a PIN pad.
Wow. Gosh, that's something I would have never thought of.
Right. So that's a little thing that can be a big money-making.
Right. And many times my work involves both negotiating with the vendors and educating the staff on how to take advantage of these tips. On credit cards, maybe best ways to use their telephone system. Maybe they're overpaying for features. I mean, there are many practices that run out and they'll get a contract with one of the telephone companies and they're paying for an extra price for their service because they have carte blanche to use, let's say, 30 features, but they really only use 3. Hmm. And so it would be better to pay the vanilla price, the very base price, and then pay an a la carte fee for those three features.
Right.
So those are I really peel back the onion and I explore with them the way they're doing business, how they think they need these services to support their business needs, and then make sure that they have the right services. Because it's silly to try to negotiate a lower price on features and services that they don't need in the first place.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. So you only make money when you save them money, it sounds like.
That's correct. I am a contingency-based business, meaning that I'll go in and do the analysis on a complimentary basis. And this is several hundred dollars worth of analysis, fact-finding on my part. And then I make my recommendations to the practice, and I get paid based on a percentage of the first year savings. I don't charge a retainer. Some of my competitors charge retainers and then take their fee based on if they negotiate a 3-year agreement, for example, they'll take fees for 3 years. I'll take fees just as a percentage of the first year savings. And then on top of that, I won't even issue an invoice until after all of the savings and the discounts have posted to the bills and the statements.
Wow.
So I may finish my work this month and not charge them for 2 months because I'm waiting for them to get the bills that show that reflect the discounts and the savings, the refunds and credits.
How did you get into this?
My wife is a physician, and during times of crisis in her office when staff wouldn't show up and I'd go into the office to fill in for the staff, I just happened to start going through her mail and looking at her bills and seeing what she was paying for services. And I noticed in almost every case, the type of services I look at now, she was well overpaying. So I was able to lower her fees, and she asked me to do the same thing for some of her other physician friends, and I did that for 3 or 4 practices. And in every case, I was able to save money. So to her credit, she had the idea of launching this business. And so that's what gave me the idea.
So, Max, how do you help a physician increase their cash flow and their bottom line?
Well, that's precisely what we do, is to help increase the cash flow, because what we're doing is we're accelerating the amount of money coming back to the clinic from the patient. See, what happens is when you have a third-party entity like us involved, it does an uptick on the guilt level for the patient. You know, when a patient goes in and they present their health care card, they think everything is fine, you know, and they're not going to have to worry about it until they get their EOB, their estimate of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not until then do they don't even think about it. They're feeling better. The guilt level's going down about the bill. They don't even think that they may have a balance left over, right? All they did at the clinic is they went and paid their copay.
Right.
So once the bill, the insurance bill is settled up and all the adjustments are made and everything, it could be till 60 days or so that the patient actually gets the bill. So then the clinic has an opportunity to dun the patient. And so what we do as Extension Express is just try to raise that bill a bit higher in the stack of all the other bills. So they're going to get the bill from the clinic. Oh, you know, they're a doctor, right? They got money. You know, they're a millionaire, so they don't need anything right away. I'll just put this at the bottom of the stack. And then as it goes on, they may get another bill. That's the same thing. I'll just worry about it later. But we come in as a third-party entity, and so they get this. They get a letter from us, Extension Express. Well, that piques their interest, and it also piques their guilt level when they start reading it and saying, "Oh man, this clinic is serious about collecting the money." You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the business to make money. I mean, they are a business entity, but most doctors, like you say, are in the business of actually healing people. They want to help people. They're not so much on the business side on that regard, and they're really to make money. So what we're doing is we're coming in and we're giving a little level of seriousness to the clinic and them being an actual business, a for-profit organization, if you will. And that's, you know, and we, Extension Express, can take that patient responsibility from 60 days after time of service or 60 days after the EOB is, the insurance is reimbursed, reimburses the clinic. And then all the way to bad debt, whereas we actually are a collection agency, as most people would recognize that term.
Sure. Is there any kind of education involved with educating the patient? Because a lot of people kind of take for granted that they go to the doctor, they pay their copay, and then they get the EOB. A lot of people don't know what the EOB is, and then there's
just
confusion all the way around.
Well,
what do you
think
about that?
Yeah, that's a very good point, and that's a lot of what we do, too. Our collectors, we are in healthcare only. We don't do any other kind of collections. We don't do any retail or credit cards or anything. So our collectors have a real compassion, a real passion for what they do, and what we find more so is that we're helping clear up the confusion for the patient. Mm. Why did I get this bill?
Right.
And so that really, it really helps out. We have a level of comfort with the patients and create that so they know that we're there really to help, not really being a, you know, like a collection agency.
So helping them understand their responsibility.
Right. Well, I mean, and really that should be happening at the front office, right? The front office desk should be the one who says, you know, these are the things that need to be, you're going to expect from us on a financial basis. Of course, the doctor's not going to have that conversation with the patient. But
maybe
the front office.
Maybe it's a patient advocacy specialist.
Precisely. And so maybe that's why they're coming in. Yeah, that might be one of those things that they are seeing some trouble with the front office's ability to communicate that, as well as get, sometimes it's even getting the correct information out of the folks, getting the right insurance card or, you know, the numbers, make sure the numbers aren't transposed and things like that. And they need to have a conversation with the patient so they'll understand. So that's what advocacy is probably about.
Well, Lee, any thoughts?
How much of your time is spent, like, kind of on this customer service standpoint as opposed to, like, the collection?
Well, we're probably about 40, 60. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as customers, I mean, we go off, our services are offered both as an early out, that's what it's called, the patient responsibility, so it's after insurance, or it's right after date of service if they don't have insurance. 0 day early out all the way to collection. So my people go out and talk about how we can help a clinic, and then in the conversation with the clinic, we, you know, that's what determines what the service is best for them. And so, you know, a lot of clinics are, hey, we got a handle on sending statements out. We feel like we've got that, and we're getting a good return on sending statements out. But we need you as a bad debt collection agency.
What defines a good return? Like, what are they happy with typically, physicians?
Well, nowadays, you know, since it's not 1970 anymore, but physicians are really happy just to get at least 80% of their insurance reimbursements back. And then on top of that, you got all this patient responsibility money sitting out there, so they may be happy to get 60-70% of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the others, you know, so that's enough to pay the bills, basically, and pay the FTEs and everything. Then it comes to us to kind of get the rest of it for them.
Right.
Do you find that physicians are trying to add additional things to their practices as revenue sources? I know I see a lot of laser hair removal. I mean, have you seen anything like that, Seth? Are people asking for funding for, you know,
Absolutely.
Various pieces of equipment or services?
What's popular now?
It's not the golden age of medicine anymore, so I've been told. So people are looking for any sort of fee-for-service work. Medicare reimbursement drops that. I mean, that's what all managed care reimbursement is based on, is what Medicare is reimbursing. So they're looking for ancillary ways to leverage, as we say, leverage their education, whether it be, you know, surgical centers or purchasing a building or a piece of medical equipment, anything that can just increase their bottom line and make their jobs where they feel like they're actually out there, have a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit to their business, and not so much getting in the rut of, you know, patient comes in, fighting with them about their, you know, the health insurance companies about what they're going to reimburse. I definitely think that every single, well, most physicians are out there looking for creative ways to generate other forms of income.
That aren't insurance driven?
Absolutely. I mean, anything that can be, whether it be passive income or, you know, things that that open up the door for other opportunities, whether it's networking with other physicians in the area, you know, real estate, you know, medical equipment, all these different things are all various, you know, ways that our clients and the people we work with are generating ancillary income.
Are you seeing anything that's more popular than anything else right now? Is something hot?
You know, I think that everybody is trying to get into that sort of cosmetic boutique area. And you've got, you know, the plastic surgeons territory is sort of up for grabs as what I'm seeing. You've got ENTs, OBGYNs, dermatologists, all these different groups that are, you know, good for them. It's, you know, it's a free market, but I definitely think that anything in the sort of cosmetic realm is certainly a very sexy, appealing thing.
Are you seeing a lot more cash practices?
You know, there is a group of physicians that are out there that do more boutique medicine. You give me a retainer a year, you'll have my beeper, my cell phone.
Right.
And there's a lot of physicians that are trying to do it, and a lot of them are doing a good job with it.
Does that work, like, financially?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's all based on what a patient wants to deal with, I guess. You know, I have zero patience. Anybody that knows me knows I have no patience. and so if you don't have the patience to go to a big group and wait in line like everybody else does, and you want an answer right then and there, you know, I think there certainly is a market for that. There's certainly a market for it.
What about you, Jeff and Max? Do you see any trends?
Well, you started talking, Amy, about medicine back in the 1970s, and of course I see a big change in it, because from the vendor standpoint, back in the 1970s, you know, in terms of telephone, you had Ma Bell. Mm-hmm. So you got all your services and your equipment from Ma Bell. When you had problems, you only had one vendor to go to. Nowadays, telecommunications has changed so much that you might be dealing with multiple vendors. Equipment from one vendor, services from another vendor, maybe some cell service from another
vendor. Right, it's just hard to keep track of all the new products that are out there, new service providers.
That's right. So it's easier. I stay on top of all the promotions, all the pricing, the technology, so it's easier for me to go in and advise a client than it is
for them to keep up with all the stuff
right.
That's going on.
Right, that's right.
What about you, Max?
Well, we definitely, on the other side of that, we see a lot of the clinics adding fees onto the collections. So they have something at the front office where the patient signs and says, if this has to go into collections, then we're not only we're going to try to recover the balance due, but we're also going to cover whatever fee that we're going to be charged for that collection service. I mean, the difference between 1970 and now is definitely insurance. I mean, there could have been a doctor in 1970 could rely on insurance being 100% of their income, just simply because it was affordable for everybody,
mm-hmm.
And that the reimbursement rates were so great for a physician. But now, you know, fast forward to now where the, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, all those reimbursements have gone down. Insurance, any flavor of insurance folks have lowered their adjustments or lowered their reimbursements and putting so much more responsibility on the patient now with copays and large deductibles and things like that. There's a saying is that in the collection agency, in the collection business anyway, is that not only are we getting a piece of the pie because of our marketing efforts and everything, but that pie is just growing big time. So it's a good, you know, as far as that and helping physicians, we are becoming more important in their in our role to help their bottom line.
Because it's important for them to be able to free up their time to do their job rather than thinking about all these other tools and all the other components.
Right.
I appreciate all of you being here today. What is the best way for people to contact you? How about you, Seth?
Phone or email works. We've got my phone number is 404-926-1317, and you'll just leave me a voicemail, and I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can if you've got any questions or concerns.
And, Jeff, I kind of consider you to be the Clark Howard of medical practices. I don't know if you like that, but I think of you as the money-saving tool for medical practices. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
People can reach me at 404-995-9112 or at my email address, which is finkelj, F as in Frank, I-N-K-E-L-J, at bellsouth.net.
Max, how about you?
They can go on our website. It's www.extensionexpress.com, or you can email me at msmith@extensionexpress.com, or our office number is 770-908-9899.
A lot of expertise here in the room. Lee, what do you think?
I know. Once again, this medical show theme keeps popping up, Amy.
Well, stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Next week we have a second part in the two-part series on how to make your practice run better and also utilizing some additional tools, so stay tuned for next week's edition. And until then, I'm Amy Otto, and have a great day.